Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, we'll be going over the first game against Western Michigan that was just played this past Saturday, as well as some surprises that occurred on the field and some injury updates, such as the Ronnie Bell knee injury that could cost him the season. This game was a commanding game against Western Michigan as Michigan took them over 47-14. Now, yes, there were definitely some shaky parts to this game that we will go over, but there are also a lot of positives. The QB play looked great as Cade McNamara had one of the highest passer ratings of all college football QBs this past Saturday. JJ McCarthy came in and threw his first touchdown pass in his first ever game as a Michigan Wolverine. And you saw guys step up like Blake Corum and AJ Hennig and Daylon Baldwin in situations that they might not have actually expected to play that much this past weekend. But when the opportunity occurred, they stepped up, they scored touchdowns, and they brought this team to victory. Now, there were definitely some shaky aspects. The first defensive drive for Michigan definitely did look ugly. Western Michigan was driving down the field with ease, running out routes, and eventually connected on a 28-yard catch, which set them up to score a touchdown on the first drive against Michigan. But the defense did adjust to this, and after forfeiting 89 yards on 8-for-12 passing in the first quarter, Michigan did hold Western Michigan to just one completion in the second quarter. In total, the Wolverines only allowed 102 yards in the final three quarters. This definitely was a great sign. After watching that first quarter, it was very worrisome to see the cornerbacks just giving up a bunch of easy passes. And throughout the game, there were definitely some situations where Michigan caught some lucky breaks, given that the Western Michigan wide receivers were not catching a lot of the balls since some were behind them or not really catchable. That said, in general, Michigan did a great job defensively after the first quarter of stopping them. This said, Michigan needs to do a better job early on getting right to the ball on defense and covering well, because against a team like Washington that we played this week, or as we go later on in the season against Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State, you're not going to be allowed to give up those easy touchdown passes in the first quarter, because by the second quarter, it could be a blowout already. So again, it was just the first game. They had one game under their belts. Of course, there were going to be some kinks that they needed to get out. But now, going forward, they do need to get a commanding early jump start on defense especially, and they cannot give up these big plays that they were giving up to Western Michigan. A big positive of the game was that we did have 43 rushing attempts and only 17 passing attempts. Now, you might look at that and say, why do we not pass the ball? Well, number one, we were up by a lot, given from the second quarter on, we were winning by a lot throughout the entire game. And number two, the rushing attack was working the entire time. Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins were awesome, and the offensive line were creating holes for them that they, you know, so they could get extra yards on every single carry. Blake Corum had 2 touchdowns, and no one really expected him to be a part of the game plan as much as he was a part of it this past weekend. But after now watching that Western Michigan game and seeing the way the coaching staff shuffled around the 3 or 4 running backs they had go in this past game, I'm very excited to see what we can do against these better teams going forward in the regular season. Now, of course, again, going back to one of the other negatives, there were a few questionable decisions on the coaching part this past game. There was a questionable decision to run the ball on 2nd and 3rd downs with 15 yards to go in the first quarter. Also, we kicked a field goal when we were up 24-7 at the end of the first half when we were within the 5-yard line, which did seem strange. And we went for a 2-point conversion once we scored the 33rd point to try to make it 35-7, which is a little confusing. And the play call especially was Dan Villari running a QB power, which I understand the game plan, but we had just run the ball 3 straight times previously to that. So it really just didn't make much sense why we were having Dan Villari run the ball. If anything, you should have had Corum or Hassan Haskins take the ball in for the 2-point conversion. And finally, the QB play was great for the most part, but being at the game, you do notice a few extra things. Both JJ McCarthy and Cade McNamara had a few occasions where there were some wide open wide receivers running go routes 15, 20 yards on the field and had no one in front of them. And they both missed their targets, and instead went to a different guy, which then they threw incompletions to because they threw behind the receivers. So just a few things to look out for. Those mistakes won't be as forgiving as we go in closer and closer to the Ohio State game. That said, for the most part, this team played exceptionally well. The defense got back under control, and of course, our offense then put up 47 points, which was unbelievable in and of itself, and was great to see a Michigan offense not struggle as they did last season. Now, the biggest news, as you all might have already known, is the Ronnie Bell injury. Ronnie Bell is officially out this season with a torn ACL. His injury came after a 31-yard punt return in the second quarter against Western Michigan, where Bell looked really uncomfortable and looked to be in a lot of pain and could not walk on his leg whatsoever as he got tackled on this punt return. Despite only playing a quarter and a half, though, he still was the leading receiver in Saturday's victory. He had one catch for 76 yards and a touchdown, and he had another catch that was called back on an offensive pass interference, in which I think every, not just Michigan fan, but regular sports commentator would say, looking back on it, that was not an offensive pass interference, and it was probably one of the best catches. This could be this season already. That could have been one of the best catches of the year. It's a very unfortunate situation for this team and, of course, for Ronnie Bell as he leaves this team after week one for the season. Now, of course, he'll still be a part of the team as in a leadership role, trying to teach these young guys all the experience that he knows. But there are a few things now as we look forward. What needs to happen with this Michigan wide receiver core? Ronnie Bell was expected to go over 1,000 yards this season and was definitely the clear number one wide receiver on this football team. So now you have guys like Cornelius Johnson, Daylon Baldwin, Roman Wilson, and AJ Hennig that will need to step up in place of Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell was interesting because he could play on the outside and in the slot. So without him, now you're kind of losing a flex wide receiver and you're going more down to a traditional wide receiver group. You have Cornelius and Daylon on the outside, and you'll have Roman Wilson and AJ Hennig in the slot. But those guys all will need to step up. None of them have had as much experience as Ronnie Bell. Only Cornelius Johnson really played much last season for the Michigan Wolverines. Daylon Baldwin came from Jackson State, and as we saw, he already made a big splash and a big impact on this Michigan offense this past week. This said, as we play better teams, such as this upcoming weekend against Washington and going forward against the Big Ten competition, these guys that we don't know that much about will really need to be put in a big-time spot. Primetime role, and we'll have to see if they can live up to the competition and the pressure of being a Michigan wide receiver. I'm not that worried of this Michigan wide receiver core. I think they can still perform to a high level. We have guys like Eric All as well and our tight end position and Luke Schumacher. We also have the running back group with Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum, and Donovan Edwards, who've all had receptions in this past game, and they all can prove to be a big threat in the passing attack. This said, Cade McNamara now has to go back to the drawing board, and anything and any connection he has built with Ronnie Bell now goes out the door, and he must be a leader and take on this leadership role of commanding this offense and telling the young group of wide receivers and the inexperienced group of wide receivers that we are going to be okay and that there's nothing to worry about. Now, going down the future, just a little bit of speculation, a little bit of my own personal input. This Ronnie Bell injury does not only affect this season, but in future seasons as well. Ronnie Bell is already a senior, meaning after the season he was planning on going to the draft, graduating, and not coming back to the Michigan football team. Because of the injury and because of COVID last season, he gains an extra year of eligibility next season, meaning as of right now, everyone expects Ronnie Bell to come back next year. Cornelius Johnson is not going anywhere, so he'll be back next year as well, same with Roman Wilson and AJ Hennig. Because of this, the four top wide receivers on the Michigan depth chart this year will most likely still be the four top wide receivers on the Michigan depth chart next year. Why is this a bad thing? Well, it's not really a bad thing if you think about the production levels. These guys are all very experienced players. There's nothing to worry about in terms of, you know, are you going to get the best out of the best of your wide receivers? But it does affect recruiting. There are current freshmen on this team this year, and there are current guys who are committed for the next year's class that might actually want to rethink their commitments due to the Ronnie Bell coming back. This is because now that all four slots are taken up, there is not really much of a chance for guys currently as redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores on this year's team, or freshmen coming in next year to have much playing time next season. So do not be surprised if you do see situations like a Giles Jackson where they were on this team And then for some reason, either midseason or during the offseason, they do decide to transfer or decommit from Michigan due to the experience and the volume of wide receivers in the wide receiver room. So that is something just to keep in mind. It's not a problem necessarily, but do not be surprised if you see this shake up a little bit of the recruiting for the Michigan Wolverines. Now, again, a few quick points I'd like to say again about this game. I thought it was very interesting that Mike Sainristil was on the field a lot, but didn't really seem that much involved. He played a lot of special teams, but really on the offensive unit, he never got the ball once. And I thought that was very interesting, given that he is one of the more experienced wide receivers on this team, and they did decide to throw in A.J. Henning and Roman Wilson over Mike Sainristil. Also, I thought it was very interesting going later into the game. I don't know if it's just because of the lopsided score, but it was very nice to see the Michigan offense being a little more aggressive than we've seen in the past. On 3rd-and-2s, 3rd-and-3s in the past, we just see them run a basic out route, maybe a slant pattern, or just a run. But in this game, we saw on 3rd-and-3 them take a 50-yard shot down the field. And a lot of times, they connect because this Michigan offense is high-powered and people are underestimating this offense. It's just that the coaching staff in the past has played very conservatively. So this season was really cool to see already just the aggression and the aggressiveness of this Michigan coaching staff allowing these players to take deep shots down the field, and it worked out for them. Also, Zach Zinter had been reportedly questionable and might not have played this past weekend. That was not the case, as he played 16 snaps despite being considered out due to an injury. This is a very positive sign, as a lot of people were worried what was going to happen with this Michigan offensive line that looked very legit, looked great chemistry, very experienced, very well built. The fact that Zach Zinter was questionable really had a lot of people wondering what was this going to mean for the Michigan offensive line going forward, but the fact that he played was just a very positive sign, and the offensive line played very, very well. As I said a little earlier, Blake Corum had an unbelievable game. I was very excited to see him out there, especially in that first drive, jumping out early, getting that first touchdown of the season. It was a great run, and he just was bouncing off players. A lot of people are already comparing him to J.K. Dobbins, which I think is very high praise for the young running back Blake Corum. Again, he's one of those guys. He's been behind a lot of guys in this running back field now the last 2 years. He's still not listed as a starter because, of course, Hassan Haskins is just such a good player that you can't put Blake Corum over him. But the fact that they both saw equal snaps, and in this game specifically, Blake Corum had more snaps than Hassan Haskins, was a very, very positive sign. Keeping with the running back room, Donovan Edwards, again, great game. I loved when they put him right in there. He got a first down. J.J. McCarthy was just feeding him the ball, and he was delivering, and they weren't going three and out. He was running the ball down the field, especially against a number one defense in Western Michigan. They weren't playing the backups then. They were still playing the starters. So it was really positive to see Donovan Edwards taking advantage of the time he was put in the game and was making some big plays. And finally, again, big shout out to Aiden Hutchinson. Very happy with what he was doing. You know, every year they come up with these rankings of who's going to be the best players on each team. And Aiden Hutchinson came out this year as probably one of the best defensive players on this Michigan team. You never know how they're actually going to play. Of course, in the past, like last year with Quiddy Pay, he's doing great in the NFL now. He didn't have as great of a season as everyone was expecting him to have last season. Aiden Hutchinson comes out this game, gets a strip sack, gets a block on the field goal. I was very, very happy with what I saw from him, and I'm very excited to see how much farther he can go this season. And one final note, Vincent Gray, cornerback. People weren't expecting him to be the top cornerback on this team. They were thinking that, you know, Jamon Green was going to, you know, be the CB1. Vincent Gray played great this past weekend, even better than Green, and even also better than Malik Turner. People were saying Malik Turner could have also jumped Gray in the cornerback role. Vincent Gray held his own. He did give up one or two passes in that first quarter, as I said a little earlier, with all the corners. But as we got later in the game, second quarter on, he held his own, rarely gave up, I don't think, any passes really, and he played great, and I'm very excited to see what this young cornerback room can do, as they had really struggled last season, and they're trying to find themselves and prove what they can do. So again, a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of things to work on. You know, big game this weekend against Washington at night, on Saturday night at 8 p.m., you know, I'll be there for the game. I'll be watching. This Washington team is coming in struggling. They lost to Montana, so now they're one of two ways they'll probably respond. Either number one, they'll come out hungry, and aggressive, and it could either help or hurt the Wolverines, or two, they've already given up on their season because they've just got embarrassed on national television against Montana. So it'll be very interesting to see what kind of game it is. Now, it'll most likely be a game of two unranked matches versus an unranked matchup against the Wolverines. So could hurt us a little bit with the ranking-wise, but I think we should go out there and we should handle them pretty easily since we beat Western Michigan pretty handily and Washington looked really bad against Montana. So that's my take on this past week against Western Michigan. Please feel free, listen to the other podcast episodes and be ready to listen to the recap of the Michigan-Washington game this Saturday night. Thank you and go Blue.